The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Danica.
I'm Boar.
I'm Brandon.
In this episode, we're going to talk a lot about movies and television that's been delighting our brains lately, and a little bit of science and technology, and we'll see what comes up. This show is where we talk about basically the full pop culture cornucopia of the nerd world, and so we're just going to crack that bitch right open right now and here and now. But first,
and see what's inside.
And see what's inside.
Hopefully a creamy, chewy center.
I hope it's a gummy bear and a cigarette.
Oh, your post-coitus regimen. Yeah.
No, it's actually pre, but okay.
It gets them going. It gets the juices flowing.
And then you got those wonderful cigarette kisses flavored with a hint of gelatin.
Love those cigarette kisses.
I don't know who you're coitusing with. But.
Cigarette kisses.
That's why I don't kiss them on the mouth.
That's why I have a deep voice. My voice is like deep and coarse because of all the cigarettes I smoke. Obviously.
Awesome. Wow. Wait, I thought.
Obviously!
I thought you were eating them with the gummy bears.
I eat my cigarettes.
He lights it, and then he eats it.
He eats at least half of them.
Oh. Well, I always get it backwards. I light the gummy bear, and then that melts to my fingers and burns, and then I get really upset and smoke the cigarette afterwards.
Well, like, you know, like Sean Spicer's stomach is full of gum, yours is full of cigarette butts.
Delicious.
Yeah, it is.
You can digest the tobacco, but the filters, they just don't go.
People don't understand that that's how you repair your lungs. You inhale the filter afterwards and it filters the toxins directly in your lungs. You keep it there. Hmm. The filter just sits in your lungs all day long.
That's amazing. It's one of those like surprising facts that you don't realize, like how fireworks improve the ozone layer.
You could go up to a car muffler and inhale while it's on and the filter just catches it all in your lungs directly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, so, well, what have you been up to, Brandon, lately, that is?
I've been designing style sheets so that websites can be viewed on mobile devices in portrait and landscape mode at various pixel ratios.
Fascinating.
Yeah, that is very fascinating, isn't it?
Have you ever talked about how you're in the process of migrating jobs?
Nope. Like a bird. Migrating a job.
Just out of nowhere, he's doing style sheets.
Do I migrate north or south, though? I don't know. Birds that migrate east and west, or jobs, that is, that's what I'm talking about, is really stupid. No one should migrate east and west. Anyway, back to jobs. Yeah, no, I'm doing some basic web development, CSS, HTML, JavaScript stuff, and programming in C, and then I'll move on from there until I can find a job, you know, that is better than where I'm working. Although I work for Amazon now, the sky's the limit. So we'll see.
Boy, the human workforce is really important to Amazon. You should hold on to that one.
You know, they will need drone pilots, and apparently, so said the instructor that one time I did it, I'm a natural because I played video games my whole life. So.
Are they going to need drone pilots
to deliver groceries?
To stock the shelves?
No, we'll deliver things to your door. Oh, you want this bottle of ketchup? Boop, organic ketchup straight to your door. And then I'm going to spy on you.
I don't think they'll have anybody actually piloting those, but there's probably going to be a need for a lot of people to maintain them.
Mm. You know, you gotta maintain.
I know how to use a screwdriver.
Right. Well, you're going to have to charge their batteries because I doubt they're probably going to initially have like little launching pods that they land in. And well, actually, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, maybe they won't need anybody to do anything now that I'm thinking about it.
Can't they do those like those pads you put your cell phone on? That charges them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, they might just have little connectors that they can.
There's like a little wang that comes out, and then it just touches the pad when it touches down, and it just.
Yeah, the only bad thing about like a wireless QI charging is that it would be significantly slower than if it made a physical connection.
When you got a million drones, it doesn't matter. You got more ready to go by the time the one's done.
But still, they're gonna need people to change the little propellers when they go bad. And,
I do not use a screwdriver and stuff. I don't want to brag, guys, but I can use a screwdriver.
They'll need somebody in a little truck to go around and find the ones that crashed into a tree.
Actually, a robot could probably do that one.
Yeah. A robot could drive out and do.
Yes.
And eventually they'll just repair themselves.
No machines. You know.
I mean, maybe in like 50 years. I think
Skylines are going to be really great. We've got these weird these weird like wasp hives in the skylines, just like drones coming in and out of them at all hours.
Do you think they'll start taking smoke breaks? Like when they get like when they're charging the and doing drones? Nothing, they just like learn to smoke on their own, like after a while? I think they will.
Yeah.
But they'll smoke microchips or something cool like that.
Plus, they've got
you mean
those
like vapes.
Yeah, the drones are just gonna vape. You're gonna see a drone come in your house and see a vape drone and be like, "Did you really just fucking vape?" Drones are such d-bags.
How about you, Danica? What you been up to?
Sorry, I was about to say
We can't say is like poison for podcasts, which is why I slowly kill each and every episode we put out.
Use the Japanese version. He can't catch you on that.
Eto. I have been reading 1,000 books as usual. And yesterday I went to the Kennedy Space Center for the first time. I know most of the people on Nerdy Show that are here physically at Nerdy Show headquarters tend to be from Florida. So that's not necessarily new for
them. I'm not.
Most of them. Anyway, so I've lived here for like 10 years and I've never been before, but a bunch of friends and I went yesterday and it was not what I imagined.
Did you like seeing where space came from?
Yes.
Where space was born.
I enjoyed seeing where space was born. No, but the really cool thing that was there that I didn't even realize was that the space shuttle Atlantis is actually like retired there, but they turned it into a whole
it's a theme park ride.
It's
actually
there is a ride in that building, but it's not in the shuttle.
I recently went there too for like the first time ever. I've lived here for like 6 years and I haven't gone, and I kind of experienced the same thing you did. Do you want to explain the Atlantis exhibit? Because I was kind of like, I don't know. Like, I didn't know what was happening when I went into it because I didn't like look into what they have at the Kennedy Space Center. I was like, oh, it's probably just a little museum or whatever. And then, you know, I went into the Atlantis exhibit and they're just kind of like shuffling you into a little line. And I was like, what are we waiting for?
Right. But, so, yeah. So I went with my friends and I had no idea what it was like either. I also thought it was just like maybe one hangar with some boring crap in it. And I know there was like a bus ride where you could like, there's the launch pad like 6 miles away.
Right. Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And it does have that. But it's actually when we got there, it was like, oh, this is like Epcot. Like it was that like big and made
advertisements
up.
Advertisements like everywhere.
One of the funny things is I didn't realize how much like outdoors there was to
the
Kennedy Space
Center.
Yeah, I was
like, I didn't put any suntan lotion on.
That was my exact problem. When I showed up, I saw people like putting sunscreen on and I was like, wait, is this outside at all? Because I thought that this was just like go into a room and there's some exhibits and then you leave.
NASA scientists are tan, man. And they're ripped.
Right. So yeah, so the main park, like it's like Epcot. Like there's a lot of indoor, like all of the things are indoors, but you have to walk outdoors a lot to get to them.
They've got a rocket garden.
There's a rocket garden, which is outdoors, and that's great with like old retired. I wasn't sure if those were replicas or the actual rockets. It's hard to tell.
Why would
sometimes.
NASA need replicas?
50-50.
Yeah, it's hard to tell sometimes with the stuff. But so the very last thing we did was the Atlantis building. Like I didn't think we were even going to go in there. But somebody wanted to go to the gift shop that was in there or something.
Oh, it's a good thing you went in there.
So yeah, no, it's a good thing I went in there. So yeah, so they shuffle you in, you're in a line, and someone, I think, looked something up, was like, oh yeah, I think there's like a film or something. This should take like 12 minutes.
Well, yeah, they shuttle you, like you wait in a line, shuttle. And then they put you into a little room.
And then Poseidon and then they comes
like,
out.
They play like a movie that seems like it's one of those theme park movies, like
it's like
before you get into a 3D ride or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's a
you know, like night, setting you up for the
recreation,
next thing.
A recreation of, I guess, when the NASA team was tasked with making the show.
Yeah, it was like a dramatization.
But yeah, it was a dramatization
of
like
the 60s. The what happened before the shuttle program happened. Like they're like, we gotta make a reusable shuttle that can go up and come back down and then we can use it again.
That was,
you know,
in the 80s,
like, and they,
right?
Well,
the first
it was
like reusable
in
the, shuttle.
It launched in 81, but it took 12 years for them to do it.
Noobs?
Yeah.
12
well,
years.
It was the first
I could do
time
that in Minecraft
that they,
in like
it was
a
the
day.
First time that NASA had made a reusable spacecraft, like that any part of it was reusable.
But
reuse,
it totally
so, yeah.
felt like a theme park ride.
Yeah.
Like the quality of the film and everything. Mm-hmm. But then what they do is after that, they open the doors and then you walk into another theater and they start making you watch this, like, yet another movie. But this one's at least really huge and like all around you.
I made a joke that we were in the Lake Eola Amphitheater because it's shaped
it's a domed, it's a domed projection thing.
Right.
But I mean, but that's the experience changes immediately, right?
Right. Yeah. So you watch, it's another film and this one's like mostly CG and like more.
There's some like actual footage.
There's some. Stuff. It's like, I guess it's 50-50, but yeah. there was a lot of like panning over the ship and a lot of that was CG.
And they've got some really giant speakers in the room.
So you're watching that, but then the movie ends. And it, for a second, like I heard some kind of like clicking stuff because we were actually like right up front of the screen. And I heard some kind of noises. I'm like, okay, I think something's going to open up because this can't be it.
And the floor opened.
So the screen goes transparent. And then you see the Atlanta shuttle.
Well, and the video
right
you've
in
been
front
watching.
Of you. Like you've been watching them.
Was like being at. Like at Canaveral. Am I mixing up my experience?
No, like at the end of the video, I'm pretty sure they have like a shuttle in the video and then like they kind of
a rocket launch at the end.
No, I think they show like the shuttle in the at the very end of the video, like it's in space or something, like orbiting, and then like it just goes clear and then the actual shuttle is behind the screen.
Right.
And it splits open and then you walk out into this gigantic multi-story museum.
Yep. It's right. like three stories tall, and the spatial Atlantis is, I think they have it tilted at like a 45 degree angle.
Yeah, something like that. But
that
like,
is the best angle. The my favorite.
The thing is, you're like, no, like if you ever go to do this, audience, stand in the front, because as soon as that screen goes clear, you are nose to nose with the shuttle.
Yeah.
And like then, it feels like, I mean, there was a guy who actually reached out and touched like a panel that was open because he was...
That is illegal.
Freaking 7 feet tall and like teasing the kids he was with that they couldn't do it.
Unless they grow 7 feet tall.
But that's how close you are to it. Somebody who is 7 feet tall could reach out and touch the edge of the shuttle.
But it's really cool. Like they have the actual Atlantis shuttle and the bay doors are like wide open and they have some of the arms extended and
that all say Canada all over them.
Yeah.
you can peer right into it. And I've seen the Boom one in Los Angeles, I've seen the one in DC, and this is the best display by far. There's one in New York that I haven't seen.
I've been to the Air and Space Museum in DC. Yeah. And you're saying this was better than that? Because I was only there for 5 minutes because running through it.
Did you go to there's two Air and Space Museums in
what?
DC. There's the one that's out by Dulles Airport where they keep all the big stuff.
No, I saw it in like center.
Yeah. If you go to the one out by Dulles Airport, you're going to see the space shuttle. You're going
to
see a Concorde.
Oh,
you're going
to
see
back.
A ton of amazing, weird, funky satellites. You're going to see the Enola Gay. It's just
they
like,
have a bomb there.
It's just a bunch of.
That's probably why they keep it so far away.
That's and little boy. But there's just
plane.
It's just a bunch of hangars, a bunch of really classy hangars. You can see them like look down on them doing restorations of like World War II experimental German planes and stuff, and it's wild.
So at NASA, all the stuff you did there, which didn't sound like a whole lot, but that took all day. And how much of the park of NASA did you get to actually see?
Not even 50%, because the things that come, like it's $50 to get in, and that doesn't come with everything. There's a bunch of add-on stuff that we didn't get, but just the things that you get alone with the $50 ticket take more than a day. There's a bus ride, like I said, like out to go see.
Yeah, I took that.
Like
it was
you
cool.
go past
all the,
the assembly buildings and the launch pads, and then they take you to another part of the Saturn V/Apollo building.
Yep.
Where
yeah, they have the original mission control there.
Saturn
is the assembly
rocket,
building the giant one we always see in the distance? And you're like, it doesn't look that
yeah,
big. But it's like,
it's enormous.
50-story empty room that I heard it has its like own atmosphere. Like they have to control it or clouds will form in the top of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that's
right,
so cool.
That the bus ride to do that and then to get to the Saturn V/Apollo center area, which has its own like museum stuff and...
I think they said something on the
like two
bus
and a half
ride
hours.
that building can hold like four Empire State Buildings or something by volume or something like that.
Yeah, he said something like that. And then
the Statue of Liberty.
He said you could roll the Statue of Liberty in there through one of the big doors
easily.
Holding, I don't remember which rocket, but one of the older rockets, like holding it straight up and it still wouldn't touch the ceiling.
The American flag you see in the distance hanging off it is apparently
it's
20 21, stories.
21
it doesn't
stories.
Look that big.
Yeah, it's enormous.
From the distance, but yeah.
Yeah, which something to be aware of when you're planning any trip to Kennedy Space Center is that they have limited availability programs and so on. Things will change, things will become available because, you know, there's the museum that's on site, and then there's the remote museum that's the one where they have the Saturn V rocket you have to take a bus to, and don't miss out on that, because the scale of seeing that rocket is incredible. But also there's other material out there. For example, I've been to the launch pads and like gone and walked in and around them, like touched spaces.
Cool. I didn't
that
know
were,
they
like,
let people
bathed
do that.
In atomic fire.
Those are the bonus things that are like an extra $25.
Is that where you got
per
your superpowers?
Different thing.
Well, and if they're available, because depending on what's happening, they might not be.
Right.
And I've also been inside the vehicle assembly building. And it's cool.
Yeah, that wasn't available when I was there because, I don't know, they're doing something to it.
There's a launch tonight, so I think there was
there?
Some stuff that wasn't available.
Well, if you're listening to this, the launch already happened. So,
well, yeah.
But you missed out. Go back in time. Look, watch it on YouTube.
It's about an hour from now.
Yeah, Kennedy Space Center is amazing. You might think living in Orlando, we go to theme parks a lot. I mean, speaking personally, I don't.
Theme parks are for tourists.
I hate theme parks.
But yeah. I go to Kennedy Space Center at least once a year.
What's really cool is even if you don't, you can go out to the east and just, there's a bunch of wilderness and wildlife reserves out there, and you can see the assembly building out there. You get too close, though, the NASA bees come out of the ground, which are dangerous. They have built a border around NASA where if you get too close, these bees come out of the dirt. And will come after you. I have experienced this, and it's scary. They are NASA bees.
And they got...
I'm not even joking. There are holes in the ground near all the gates, and they will come out of the ground. Yeah, I will film it next time.
I prefer going to beaches that are like in natural wilderness settings. So like Canaveral National Seashore, which is out there, is great. If you want a great nude beach, you can go down to Parking Lot 13.
Which I do.
Playa Linda.
You know that I'm always looking for one.
Yeah. Always keeping your eyes peeled. It's not legally sanctioned, but they look the other way.
So you don't have to.
But you might want to.
Two other things about the Kennedy Space Center. When I went there, I did the lunch with an astronaut, which was pretty interesting.
That's another thing.
I feel horrible that I don't remember his name right off the top of my head.
Buzz Aldrin. Get it?
Yeah, we'll
right.
just go with that. That was really interesting because, you know, he would take questions and... stuff like that. But the other thing is they have an exclusive flavor of Dippin' Dots there.
I didn't know
that.
Do
they?
They still have Dippin' Dots?
I think they're called Mars Rocks, and it's like a it's like an orange sickle. It's like a orange sherbet and vanilla.
Oh, that's what my friend got then. My friend got a soft serve twisty and that creamsicle kind of flavor Dippin' Dots.
Nice. Yeah, you can only get that at Kennedy Space Center, supposedly.
I'm pretty sure that's a conspiracy that the aliens that came back on a NASA ship, they've been sprinkling them in the only place you can find them in the NASA Dippin' Dots, and they've been infecting people who go to NASA for like years.
It's possible, and maybe that's why Sean Spicer hates Dippin' Dots so much.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Yes.
I love
it's all coming
dots.
Together.
Isn't that like the second time he's come up on this podcast?
And he's never come up before, and hopefully he'll never come up again. Hate that motherfucker, but...
Well, I was going to talk about other things, but I think that pretty much...
No, go for it. That one was fun.
Well, the other one might not be as fun for
no,
everybody.
No, you set the standard, so we've got to go with that.
Damn it.
Give us another good one. No pressure. Lots of pressure.
I discovered a new author recently, just in my voracious reading, since most of the things that I read are through the library, digital... loans, sometimes I just have to go through a list of what's available because just like real books, they only have like 3 digital loans they're allowed to give out at a time.
Oh did you? Is it a new Morgan Freeman Vampires book?
No, it's not. Sorry.
I really hope she's going to say like J.K. Rowling.
I just discovered J.K. Rowling.
There's this thing called Harry Potter.
Yeah. No, his name's Will McIntosh or McIntosh. It's the M-C-I-N.
Just like the Apple.
Instead of M-A-C.
Or like the cameraman in UHF.
I don't know. I enjoyed the first book I read, which was called Faller. And the...
What kind of
kind of the gist of it... They're science fiction. So the gist of it was that a bunch of people wake up with no personal memories and are unable to even read, even though they know what they're looking at are letters. For some reason, they can't put them together. And... the land that they're on, it's as if the earth exploded into like 1 to 20 mile chunks and are somehow, despite the reality of our physics, floating in our atmosphere, not in the vacuum of space.
That That makes a lot of
sense. I've already guessed they're in VR, they're in a coma, they're in the afterlife, they're dead. One of those.
None of the above, actually.
It's like a sequel to The Matrix.
Some weird spin on Riverworld and how, you know, and that experience of not knowing what's up. But
well, the next books I'm reading now is called Hitchers, which I'm almost finished. And there are...
Is it about people getting married or traveling across the country without a vehicle?
Neither.
Then it's a weird title.
No, well, it is. It's people like people,
it's
people
hitchhiking. Oh, it's about people who hook trailers to things.
They love it. They love it so much.
There hasn't been a good book about the people who do that dirty job 24/7.
Yeah, that's not what it's about.
Okay.
Damn it, we're bad at guessing plots.
Reading these two books, I've found that he has definite subjects that he goes towards: biological warfare and finding. Lost. Well, Faller had like the things about it had to do with biological warfare and physics, and that's how things happened. And then the next book I'm reading also involved biological warfare, and both of them had the theme of finding lost loved ones, but then coming to the conclusion that they're no longer the people for you.
Huh.
Nice.
So,
what his personal experience is like.
Yeah. We'll have to see. I think I have a third book in my queue from him that I guess is his first YA edition.
What's so
we'll
a YA?
Young adult.
Yeah.
So I'll have to see if it may his the
oh,
book.
That's what Yas Queen means. I'm going to get you a shirt that says Yas that.
Yas Queen.
Because you love young adult fiction.
Fuck you. Anyway, I've liked the book so far. We'll have to see if all of his books are the same shtick over and over, because that could get boring.
Yeah, right?
Has he ever combined biological warfare and physics? Like infect people with a virus that makes them lose gravity? They just float up as soon as they get like the flu. Like, oh shit.
Gravity's a disease.
I wouldn't say that they were combined in that way, but I would suggest that you read Faller if that sounds interesting.
Oh, Faller. I get it.
Oh.
No, I don't think you do.
I don't.
Just read the book. All
right. Yeah, that'll happen someday. <Dun-dun-dun>.
Oh, I will take your word for it. Boar, what you been up to?
Well, I've had kind of an interesting time recently. A while back, my girlfriend and I broke up, so I've been looking for new places to live, and I've been house hunting with good old Trench 88. And
who's a realtor. I don't know if he's ever mentioned that in the show, but
I don't think he ever has, but
there's something weird when you have a friend who's a realtor who doesn't tell you he's a realtor.
Yeah, but I mean, how often do we bring up our day jobs either? I mean, you do all the time, but other than that,
I try not to mention the name of it. Best I can.
That's true.
I'm a graphic designer. I think I brought that up before.
But I found a really cool house actually today, and I'm probably going to put an offer on it. So maybe in a future episode, I'll be like, I'm a homeowner. So
I can't say it. If people stalk you, they might find the city you live in. I can't say it.
Well, they know where we're based, roughly.
Oh, yeah, they do. Never
mind. Oops.
I hope none of you have Snapchat, because now everyone can find out your exact location unless you turn it off.
Oh, fuck yeah. That shit.
Yeah, there's that. But the other than that, the Steam sale has been going on, the summer Steam sale.
Is there anything good this time?
Well, I think there is, but the problem... There's a problem with it now where the Steam store is a little bit smarter than it used to be, so it's not going to show you stuff that you already have.
That's good.
Well, that is a good thing, but to me, I'm only seeing like titles that I'm not particularly interested in, I guess, sometimes. And I own so many games that it's not...
Oh, there's just nothing for them to show you anymore.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot for them to show
me. I think you've got
to
move on. You're done with games.
Bottom of the barrel, licorice popsicle with a little bit of hair on it. Like, that's what you're looking at right now.
I mean, there's some decent ones, but my backlog is so filled up that a game really has to be, like, super fantastic for me to want to, like, buy it anymore.
Have you tried Custer's Revenge, right?
Custer's Revenge.
Custer's Revenge. I don't think you've ever experienced a game like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be in the Steam sale.
Never have you experienced white colonial physically raping native people, in glorious pixels.
Is that what that is? Yeah. I thought it was a dude having sex with a piece of bubble gum. Like a very large piece
of
bubble gum.
The degree to which you have to use your imagination to see these horrible things is pretty steep.
Yeah.
You might not be into that. It's not for everyone.
But the the only thing I purchased so far was the Jackbox trilogy.
I don't even know what Jackbox is, but it sounds like
you don't know Jack. It's the
Oh,
the,
Brandon,
the newest version of
do you
that.
Not know it's about like how quiz. You don't know Jack has had this massive cultural resurgence in the past year?
I'm not into culture.
Yeah, if they're really great party games. They have them on the Switch. You have a Switch, right?
Do you have a lot of parties?
No.
But he's gonna at his new house.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gearing up for that.
All right.
Duh.
It is swinging past.
No, I've never played. I know of it, but I've never played
as
it.
As soon as I have a housewarming party, you can come over and we'll jackbox it up.
Yeah, you're just going to be jacking together, warming the house. It's going to be great.
I'll bring my Alexa. They can talk.
Yeah.
They can grow smarter together.
Exactly. We can have an Alexa war.
We'll turn our drop-ins on.
Oh,
it'll be great.
You guys should have a little preschool for your Alexas.
We'll have a little pen. So we'll put a little cage around them.
I haven't played around with that. The Alexa now has like the drop-in feature. It's he was trying nice. To get me to enable it.
Sweet
and I'm pretty
Jesus.
Sure it'll let you just...
What is it? What is
spy
it?
On
let me,
people.
Let me explain what drop-in is. It's a new feature.
No. Oh. Sandy so, was in my living room last night.
Here's what happens. So anyone in your contacts, if you share it with Alexa and they have drop-in turned on and they have to enable it, you can just say, Alexa, drop in Sandy. You know, former, long-time, you know, guest.
But he was trying to do it to me. He was like, turn on drop-in. And I'm like, no.
But basically, I say, drop in Sandy, and I'm suddenly in control of the speakers in their house, their Alexa. And I can just listen to their dog bark and then start talking to them. And they can do it to me at any time. It doesn't like, it makes a little beep so you know, but it doesn't need to ask for permission. They just join in.
Yeah, and like,
your speakers.
I think it would light up a little bit. And
it's like
you,
a green ring.
Yeah, it's like yeah. a green
but
ring.
But it's wow. cool. It only works with people you tell it to make sure it works with them.
There's something beautiful and yet simultaneously tremendously deconcerting about it.
I just love
well,
them ever
the idea,
it.
The idea for it is like checking on grandma type yeah. of a thing, or like checking on your kids or something like that. You know, it's not supposed to be for friends, I don't think, but I mean, you can use it that way if you want.
No, it's
for invading
funny.
Your children's privacy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you're being
there are so many tools for that these days.
Sandy enabled it, so if she's being robbed, she can try to yell at them.
Or you say you get a babysitter, and you're like, I know that babysitter's screwing on the couch. I can smell it. And
but,
then,
but yeah, that's the other thing is you can only you can
for.
Only enable it for your.
Well,
own
you don't
house.
Want to see it; you just want to hear it. That's your thing. No. Okay.
Well, yeah, you enable your Alexa, but then you can let other people drop in whenever.
Right. That's
yeah,
what I'm yeah. saying is, like, if you want to, you can enable it just for yourself. So through your phone or something.
Yeah,
you can
use
in.
Your phone just
you
to drop
in
on
your
only
house.
Speakers.
Right.
And you can turn them all into intercoms now and do weird shit like messages, well, but whatever.
Sandy has a nanny cam and drop in.
And
so.
by default, the FBI is let in. So
cool.
They don't actually activate the green ring either. So
that's so cool.
Yeah.
Are you
it's
fear-mongering?
Just a feature. It's just a feature.
What is this, InfoWars? I dropped it on Sandy's house when no one was home.
I didn't say
home.
The globalists. I said the FBI.
But I dropped it on her house when no one was home because she got a new dog. And I was like, here, boy. And I was calling him. And he's just like, Sandy, when she got home, was like, yeah, he'll just hear your voice, look up, and then go back to sleep on the couch. So I didn't get a response.
As for what I've been up to, my sometimes I do fun, cool things, and I have done a few, but of great significance, largely they've just been Nerdy Show related, because I've been traveling so much that I'm still kind of getting into the rhythm of getting all my shit back in order, getting all of our collective Nerdy Show shit back in order. You may have noticed that there's been two episodes of State of the Empire 2 weeks in a row, which is highly unusual. So if you've been, at the very least, curious about what's been going on with the Han Solo film and the firing of its directors and the hiring of Ron Howard in replace of those directors, it's been a drama. Some are calling it Sologate. And
have you talked about how you hope that he's going to narrate the entire movie like Arrested Development style?
No, we've mostly been talking about how we really hope this is just a step in the direction of Willow 2.
Okay. Oh, what if it's a crossover? Did you discuss Willow Watch? The crossover.
Of course.
Okay,
of course
just making
it was discussed.
Sure.
Yes. I mean, well, I'm, you know.
Like, what if he's just, what if Warwick Davis is in a Bacta tank in the somewhere?
Well,
in the
preview
scene.
Of things we've recently discussed, Pablo Hidalgo, one of the keepers of Lucasfilm's collective Holocron, the history of Star Wars and everything, he recently indicated that Captain Phasma comes from a more low-tech background than you would assume, to which I said, oh, she's from Willow's planet.
That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, State of the Empire, check out our most recent episodes if you have any interest in the Star Wars drama that we will not be discussing on this program because we have a whole show dedicated to that. Well, hey, who's seen Preacher? Preacher Season 2 started recently.
Me.
All of us, right?
I have not. I haven't even seen the first season.
Man,
what?
You're missing out. Preacher season one, you know, we talked about it in the past, but just a quick summary. It started, we're like, oh damn, this is off the rails. This is not shit that happened in the books. And is it even going to follow the books? What's going on? Can they validate this? And it turns out they're like, hell yeah, we're going to take a later volume of the series that we figured we weren't going to do. And we'll roll it into this prequel season that's going to give you way more depth and character. And then we're going to change it up. And season two is now... It's not following the books.
No,
but
I don't think so.
But it might be on track to following the books, and it's still very good, and that's the important part.
Yeah, at this point, I don't give a shit if it follows the books.
Yeah, I don't even remember
the
books.
I'm enjoying it.
It's its own beast.
I think I talked about before, long ago, when we talked about the first season, how much I actually hate Tulip in the books, but how much I love her on the show.
Tulip is so good in the show.
Fucking hate her in the books.
She sucks in the book.
She's terrible. She's
not a cool character.
She's a terrible person.
You know the premise of Preacher?
Not at all. All
right, here's the short version. The child of an angel and a demon comes down to Earth and lands inside of a preacher who is a reformed, very bad person. And and now he and his friends, who include his ex-girlfriend, not ex-girlfriend anymore, long-time criminal relationship.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, Bonnie and Clyde, basically Texas Bonnie and Clyde, and an actual vampire.
An Irish vampire.
Okay.
Played to perfection in this show by one of the in-betweeners. And
I have a question already.
From the Misfits.
Misfits. Sorry, that was the one. Yeah.
If you liked his role in Misfits,
yeah,
you'll like his role.
I really need to watch this now.
Yeah.
What's it on? Is it on Hulu or anything?
AMC.
Where can I watch it as
probably
somebody
Hulu,
who
I don't know
who
do,
doesn't
do you have an Amazon Fire Stick?
Well, the first two episodes of season two you can watch. They release that for everyone, and I think they did that the first season too. So
it's probably not still around now.
I would recommend not diving in at season two, though.
Well, no, I'm just. Yeah. But I think they did the first thing on season one. I thought they released the first two episodes.
Yeah, probably.
Like wide release, so anybody could watch it.
Whatever. I'll find it one way.
This is a black comedy with religious themes and also just kind of a weird swampy American story in a lot of ways. Like it's kind of about Texas in a lot of weird different ways, though we'll see how much
at
that
least
really
for the first
comes
season.
Out in the final product once they finish this show.
It's maybe like the first couple seasons of True Blood with the southern vampire dark
I don't usually like admitting.
Anyone here has watched that.
I don't like admitting it, but I actually like True Blood.
Solidarity, brother.
Yeah, no,
there's fist, some nucks just happened.
Fist bumping for no reason whatsoever.
Solidarity. She told you why. Solidarity.
I said solidarity, brother.
I've heard seldom people admit that they watch that show. I've never seen it.
I did not watch every season because towards the end it got like ridiculous
it did
and was
get
like
ridiculous.
Out of. I've read the books too. You probably haven't read
After
the books,
Bill turned into a weird god, it was weird.
That Bill. I saw that part. That was weird. What about fake blood? Why is it called True Blood?
I mean, really though, that show has a really cool premise.
Yeah.
I mean,
vampires.
Whether or not you like how they executed it and like that it's a little bit too drama focused around beautiful people or whatever.
I mean, the books themselves are very like romance novel.
Yeah.
But with vampire, kind of like that's the way they're
But I
written,
like the premise that vampires were real and that the Japanese developed a fake, like a synthetic blood that could sustain them so that vampires were able to come out of the closet. I mean,
that's
it's a cool
it's
premise.
True Blood.
It's a cool premise.
Japanese always meddling in affairs they don't understand.
So,
but it's also very southern and dark humor, so it kind of reminds me of that.
That makes sense as a comparison. In film news, we'll get back to some TV soon, but I saw Baby Driver last night and it was exceptional. It's not a particularly nerdy film, so I'll just
explain the name because I feel like it's an animated short about a baby driver or someone who's driving around a spoiled baby.
Well, let me start with this film is written and directed by Edgar Wright.
Yes.
Of you know, Scott Pilgrim fame and all the Edgar Wright movies, Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, that's not dispelling the image.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's about a wheelman for a criminal organization. Uh-huh. Who
a driver. Got it.
Yeah, his name's Baby.
Okay.
Baby Driver. Got it.
Got
maybe
it.
Like makes sense. Yeah.
And he has tinnitus, so he always hears a hum. And
I saw the trailer for this. Okay.
And it looked
I don't
great,
know why
right?
the tinnitus is what made it click in my mind.
Is there a constant hum in the trailer?
No.
So he's drowning it out with music constantly, and the way he's always wearing sunglasses, he's always listening to these earbuds. So
is this in theaters now?
It is in theaters right now, okay. just very recently. So
it actually looked cool. Isn't Willem Dafoe in it or something?
No.
Who am I thinking of?
Kevin Spacey? Jamie Foxx.
Yes, Willem Dafoe, Jamie okay. Foxx.
John
whatever.
Hamm. No?
No.
Okay.
The Rock.
Paul Williams is in it. Paul Williams, the musician who wrote Rainbow Connection and all the music for the Muppets and also voiced the Penguin in Batman.
I'm thinking of Death
series.
Note.
Wait, did you
of
just,
course
did you,
are.
You just confuse the trailer for Death Note with Baby Driver?
I did.
Because Willem Dafoe is in the Death yeah. Note trailer. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Anyway, it was spectacular. Edgar Wright has been working on this film since 1994.
Wow.
You're shitting me.
No.
Better be spectacular.
In fact,
for 23 years.
Well, think about it this way. All right. So,
I can't.
So he did Spaced, right? He directed a bunch of Spaced, maybe all of it. I'm not sure. So he did Spaced. Then he moved on to all the other films with that cast.
Got it. You know, he hasn't been writing it like nonstop. It's just been on and off for 20 years.
This is the first project he's done that's not somehow tied to a specific set of actors or a specific genre or something. It's very much its own thing. It's him doing a crazy heist film with zero CGI, all practical effects car chases. It's incredible. As a result of there being zero CGI, the credit sequence at the end was very short. There was like
10 people. it's like Luc Besson's Fifth Element, except that it had lots of CG. Just like he's been working on it like his whole life, and it's a crazy thing that doesn't match the rest of his films.
Are you saying the actor credits are very short? Because CGI would make the credits huge.
For the action sequences, there's no, like, it's tons of action sequences, and there's no CGI. It's all practical. So it's tremendous. Soundtrack is great. And I would highly recommend checking out. And the internet just informed me that in the long process of creating this movie, in 2003, he directed a music video that sort of adapted his early version of the plot, which starred Noel Fielding.
Huh.
Hmm. What?
Interesting.
I would watch that.
Well, you can, probably on YouTube. I haven't seen it yet. I just found out about it.
Speaking of movies and practical effects.
I'm your driver today.
I actually ran across a trailer for Chucky.
Cult of Chucky.
Cult of Chucky. Jennifer Tilly's in it again.
Really?
Sweet. I don't know if I can take it
but
seriously.
But Brandon was exclaiming that, I think those are practical effects for the Chucky doll.
I think
they haven't gone CG.
It looks like, and I could be wrong because
I'm
I was
not
kind of
sure.
Squinting.
It looked good. It might be practical.
When Chucky's face was moving, I thought it was like a little animatronic puppet and not an actual CG face. When he was talking about
right.
I think, but I've been wrong before.
Which, I mean, they shouldn't really need CG.
I don't know if I've ever watched a Chucky
movie all
the way through.
It's a talking doll. It doesn't need to look realistic. It needs to look like a talking doll, which we know you can do with animatronics.
I still confuse the Chucky movies with Problem Child. Are they different? To me, they're the same thing. I don't get it.
They're not really different. It's just that one has Gilbert Godfrey in it. That's the only difference.
I confuse it with My Betty commercials.
I thought Gilbert Godfrey was the voice of Chucky.
No,
I'm gonna stab you now. I can't no one can do that. I can't do that.
I haven't watched the trailer yet. I did see that it existed and was very curious, and if I wasn't doing something else, I would have been there. And not because I really love the series, but because I'm constantly fascinated by the series.
The fact that there's another movie, I don't even know how. I was not
is
looking.
There a demand for it?
I think someone I knew on Facebook must have posted it, because I don't, that's not something that would normally come up for me
is it's like
is
dildos.
A new Chucky movie. And I think we couldn't figure out if it was direct to video.
It said available on Blu-ray at a certain date, and like,
oh my god,
so
yes.
it's not even coming in the theaters.
Oh man, I love the horror industry so much. It's so focused on like home video and satisfaction for its niche fans. Yeah, this movie that looks like it's probably well put together is Blu-ray and VOD.
Yeah, like, it was produced fine. Like, it wasn't
amazing.
Like made in a basement. Huh. It was Hollywood production.
The horror films are leading the way, cutting out the middleman.
It's probably on Shudder.
Oh, I should add though, I did see Baby Driver in Dolby Atmos. It was my first experience seeing Dolby Atmos. That's the thing that's beyond surround sound. It's immersive sound. There's speakers above you and around you. And
so how's it different than like 4DX or whatever?
Well, 4DX probably has a similar sound setup, or at least facsimile, because 4DX like throws you into it with all this theme parks excitement and all that. But this has very advanced sound, like especially when there's like gunshots and stuff, it's super directional and almost has like a concussive force. It's very, it is truly very immersive. And in Baby Driver, which is so music focused, it sounds like in many cases where they could get the source audio, they actually reproduced the audio so it played in the physical space. All right, so before we move on to the next thing, we gotta give some shout outs to some fantastic folks because we are entirely listener supported. All shows on the Nerdy Show Network are, they really only exist because of your interest, encouragement, and yes, financial contributions. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/nerdyshow. And I'm gonna be real with you folks, we've hit some hard times. We there was not so very long ago, we were pulling $1,000 a month, which is amazing. It helped us funnel that money into production for shows like Dungeons and Doritos, where we have to pay for editors because it's so complicated and because this is not our day job, because we are a very small outlet and the only person working full-time on it is me, and I do have another job as well. So now we've fallen down to just shy of $700, at least at the moment, and that means that we're still able to keep the lights on. We're still able to provide monthly stipends for all the shows in the network so that, you know if you love Wicked Anime and you donate to Nerdy Show, that Wicked Anime sees something every month. However, we've fallen short. So that means that Dungeons and Doritos does not have guaranteed production finances. And it turns out that's kind of a good thing, actually, for the time being at this very moment, because as you may have noticed, unfortunately, Dungeons and Doritos has had to go on hiatus. Rule, our game master, his dad is dying of cancer, and therefore we don't have a game master. We've got one more episode of the show coming out this month, and after that we don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know how long it's going to take for him to get back in the game. So we're waiting that out. To make matters worse, Ghostbusters Resurrection also on hiatus. Doug needs to change jobs. He needs to get something that pays him better and treats him better and has some kind of stability. He doesn't have time to do post-production for the episode, so both D&D and Ghostbusters Resurrection simultaneously, due to completely unrelated things, and is very unfortunate, both on hiatus at the same time. What that means is, in addition to, we've got two of our biggest in-house productions on hiatus, we've got a dip in our Patreon, and that's that is a, maybe by textbook definition of summer bummer.
Yeah.
I will eat a puppy. Is that a thing I can do?
That's negative. That's a bad thing.
All right, fine.
How about you can eat a puppy poo? We can find you a puppy poo.
There's no meat.
You can eat it.
There's no meat on them poo bones. Jeez. Guys, I'm not
We'll make a puppy out of gelatin, and you can eat that.
Ooh, filled with quail eggs.
And cigarettes.
And cigarettes.
Well, only the filters, because we want you to be healthy.
But here's the deal. So that any money that would go into the production of D&D hitting this, like, their next goal on Patreon, which is now $1,000, that is going to get filtered back into other productions, because obviously we're not doing that. We're doing something else. Well, we're looking to productions that have been very slow going as a result of us being stretched so thin, like finishing Star Wreck, our Star Trek parody RPG miniseries, getting Pokeballs of Steelix back on the air, our Pokemon RPG series, but also I'm developing a follow-up series for the Call of Cthulhu mystery program. So,
but father, grandfather.
Well, yes, father, grandfather. Is it a character you played in that show?
Is it a prequel?
It's actually a sequel.
Cool.
But
I think Brandon suggested that I replace father, grandfather as father, grandfather's widow.
Oh wow!
I haven't agreed to that, but that was a suggestion.
You've also told me don't cast me in any RPG stuff. I can't do improv.
Yeah.
That's why I said I haven't agreed to that.
But I have said cast me in whatever you want because it'll be silly.
Yep, that's the goal.
When I think of silly, I do think of you, Boar.
Yeah,
we're not at casting yet, but soon. I got to do a lot of research. This is a historical fiction, so I have to be very prepared for this because I know that as soon as I have an idea of where it's going to go, it absolutely will go somewhere else. So I have to be in the zone.
Just a support
auto
perk.
Zone.
You support AutoZone. Enough, and you get to be the cast member. I'm kidding.
Yeah, that we can't do that, but because Call of Cthulhu is an extremely calculated production. But basically, we're full speed ahead on those shows, while our other two shows are Sleeping the Odin Sleep, and we're going to bring them back as soon as possible. Obviously, we really didn't intend for this to happen, and it's kind of a calamity that this is what's going on right now. And a little note about Patreon and why things dip so low so suddenly. It's not because people hate us. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's people still love us, but financial instability.
Summer has always been tough.
Yeah, one thing that's, you know, really cool about our network is we have such great fans that donate such huge amounts of money per person. Like, I think the vast majority of this dip has only been because of a couple of people.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So Patreon is weird. And our Patreon, we've looked at other successful Patreons, people like in similar situations to us making the same amount of money we were making. Ours is very different. We have a small number of people giving a ton of money.
Yeah, and I just want to, I think that's important to point out,
because
we didn't have a mass exodus of fans or anything recently. It's really just a couple of people that haven't been able to be, you know, as big of a champion for us.
It is more than a couple. It's enough.
Life
that
sucks.
True that. I don't follow the economy, but I would guess that we're seeing things tighten up right now because this is happening. Like, many people have left. Just two big ones. And what I wanted to point out is that's what happens when we have a small number of people giving a lot of money. It's a tremendous, wonderful, beautiful thing that I am so appreciative of, and all of us are. However, this emphasizes the need for, if you are a listener and you've never given to the network, if you just give $1 a month, we don't charge per episode, just $1 a month, that provides stability for us.
Right.
Because it all adds up. So if all of you casual listeners out there who love this show and love the programs we put out really want to see us continue, the success and
just it's like stuffing $1 in the tip jar.
That's $12 a year.
Wait, am I allowed to do a Patreon for the the network I'm on?
What do you mean?
I thought I was forbidden from supporting my own show.
No, you can.
No, in
this whole time, I thought I was forbidden.
No,
why would we
encouraged?
Why would we forbid you to give us money?
I'm going to support tonight. Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll also lift and separate.
You're going to get at least $12 a year for me, pal.
Hot damn.
Give us all your dollars.
Music to my rear.
All of your $1.
Send us your bones.
It really does add up. It really does make a difference. And this is kind of like a case example of why this is really important. And if you want to see these shows like come back and stay on schedule, then that's what has to happen, because legitimately we would not be here if it wasn't for you. This is something that's like stuck together with hopes, dreams, and minor financial contributions. Otherwise, this is it. If we have a path to success, if we have a path to stardom, that path is overgrown with weeds and we don't know how to get there. If you'd like to get us there to some place of like self-sustainability where we're all, you know, hired, hey, my email's cap@nerdyshow.com, and I'm all about talking to you about angel investment. So come on down. But that is not something we're counting on. So please go to patreon.com/nerdyshow or shop on Amazon via our Amazon links. You're probably buying stuff from those tyrannical overlords anyway. Hey, I do it too. I just bought some really cool one-piece rash guards with some floral prints on them, so I'm going to be stunning at the beach.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what
cool.
It's a rash guard.
It's not really a rash guard. It's like a wetsuit, but like not a wetsuit.
Oh, I was picturing hydrocortisone cream.
Well, you know what? You know what? Like, no. You know what? The Aquabats, when they wear the rash guards, the blue spandex.
Is that diaper cream?
I don't know.
Mine is glamorous, similar. As opposed to the balms and salves you're talking about.
Do they
about.
Prevent rashes?
Well, if you're surfing and you skid against the sand.
Oh, or the actual surfboard.
Isn't that just a wetsuit?
That's the rash. Well, this is like, wetsuits are pretty like heavy duty. This is way more casual and comes in like
casual
attractive.
It's like a casual wetsuit.
Yeah.
Casual. It's a 3 mil, whatever.
Mama needs a rash guard. Give me $1.
Amazon, nerdyshow.com/Amazon for that. Anyway, we got some shout outs. We got some new supporters, actually. I want to say hey to Chris Nance and Joe Riccardelli. Welcome, folks. So happy to have you. We also have a one-time donation from Andy O'Mell, who discovered an old episode of The Real Congregation, Mark with a C's show. He said, just stumbled upon your menthol episode, one of Brandon's favorites due to the kind of cigarette he smokes. And thanks for profiling one of my favorite bands from the 90s. Mark did an episode dedicated to an obscure 90s band.
Nirvana. I've never heard of them.
The offspring.
Yeah. No, menthol. and also
Candlebox.
You can buy the music from Call of Cthulhu and Dungeons and Doritos, the original score, on our Bandcamp page. Someone did recently, and this never happens, left us a comment. So I wanted to share this from Kristen Helleland, who said, "Really enjoy the podcast, Call of Cthulhu. Solid work."
Thank you.
Now, if you really truly can't financially contribute to us, you can rate and review us on iTunes, which is great. You can also rate and review us on a new platform, which we think is going to be even better, called Podchaser. It's in closed beta right now, but if you use the code NERDY or NERDYSHOW at podchaser.com, you can get in there. You can rate and review not just series, but individual episodes. So you can be like, hey, I love those Nerdcasting the Multiverse specials you guys did. I love that one time you did that long episode about giant monsters. You can just check, you can go to those pages, you can upvote that, and people discover these old episodes or be able to see our greatest hits as judged by you.
And interacting with something like Podchaser or going on our subreddit on reddit.com/r/nerdyshow and commenting on stuff, it lets us know what you like and helps us forge the show to be more like what you want too. So yeah, we want your opinion.
Yeah, and we want to improve your user experience.
And if you're like, I don't like Brandon, I want more of Boar, make that known, and we could make that
I've actually
happen.
Read that comment a few times, great. And I meant awesome. To talk to you about it, but...
I'm pretty sure I'm here because of a comment from Iceland.
Surprise,
so.
Denica. Surprise, if you want more Denica. Surprise, Denica. Yeah.
Surprise, Denica!
Then you can get her a plane ticket, and she will come to your home.
Oh, I will fucking whoa. Come to Iceland. Right now.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Do it. If there's any rich Icelandans who want someone to come over and hang out,
I am there. All
right. We will go to wherever you are if you pay for our way, and we will make podcasts about what we did in your area, sexual or otherwise.
otherwise.
Now, we have some comments from people on iTunes and Podchaser. Here's one from iTunes, and it is, Brandon, you have this.
Oh,
this was entitled. Posted to our Nerdy Show theater feed, where we post all of our dramatic programming.
This sounds like a great gaming group to play with by Irish Spy. I'm not going to do my Irish voice because that would be racist. All right, he writes,
you mean Jamaican?
Irish, yes. It's my Irish accent, I guess. It's my Irish accent. So Irish Spy writes, I listened to the 8-part Call of Cthulhu adventure from 2015. What fun they must have had. At times I was laughing so hard that my sides hurt. Thanks to the homicidal Bible salesman. That's me. And yet, the ending was still true to Call of Cthulhu. Great work. Highly recommended. Love the old radio show commercials, too.
I wrote those.
You wrote those.
Thank you, Irish Spy.
I thought they were a bit much, but he liked them, so it was cool. I didn't want to say anything.
And now, from some reviews from Podchaser about this show, Nerdy Show. Here's one from Twig.
Sometimes it's nice to chill to the sound of a bunch of nerds nerding out. Although, sometimes when they talk about video games, I want to reach through the internet and shake someone very hard. Well, Twig, if you give us $5 on Patreon, I will shake someone for you.
Oh, jeez. She will.
I promise.
And Twig, I would love to know what exactly you're talking about.
Yeah, just Twig, just not, I mean, obviously.
I mean, I can guess who you want to shake.
Yeah, maybe
I will
maybe
shake the
guess.
Shit out of them.
Maybe tell us more on the subreddit. That'd be a good place for a discussion like that.
Like, do you want to shake someone because you're so excited we're talking about video games, or because you're not, like, you hate video games?
I'm we'd be extremely happy to have that discussion with you. So go on our subreddit, maybe on our webpage or our forums, and interact
us
with us.
GPS
we will argue with you. It'll be fun.
We'll take this conversation to this.
I mean,
program.
I'm about to talk about video games, so you might want to turn this.
It's going down.
And one last short note from Evan Baumel.
He writes, one of my favorite podcast networks. Actually, I think it is my favorite.
Oh, that's good.
Sweet. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for all the taking care of us you've been doing over the years. It means the world.
Especially in these dark days.
In these dark, dark days of summer. So go to podchaser.com or go to nerdyshow.com/podchaser. That is where we have a whole thing I wrote about how it actually works. You can see what it looks like before you get in there. And our beta keys are on that page. Anything we have to update, like if they change how it works, we'll change it all up there. nerdyshow.com/podchaser, patreon.com/nerdyshow. and amazon.com/nerdyshow or nerdyshow.com/amazon. They don't, there's no, Amazon doesn't care about us, but we care about Amazon and you going through our links to it. Anyway, Brandon, you're going to talk about some video games. What the hell are you going to talk about?
Well, there were two things. One, the new recently, I didn't even know it was coming out within a couple of days, was the new Necromancer class for Diablo 3. That's been, I don't know, Diablo 3 has been out for 5 years now. And they just and they just came out with a new class when Diablo 4 should have come out.
And you said you haven't played it yet, but I have.
A little bit. I did. Oh, you did a little? And I have some grievances.
Did you play it in beta or did you
I just bought it and played it.
Okay. Yeah, I bought it and I got my Necromancer up to like level 70.
It's no big thing. Max level.
Yeah, he's ridiculously powered compared to like some of the other classes.
Would you say overpowered?
I don't know. I don't want to say that because maybe they'll nerf him. I don't really want that to happen. But so far, it's really fun. Like, you can summon just like a crap load of skeletons that'll follow you around and beat stuff up for you. And then there's like a giant golem that you can have. And
they were trying to capture
skeleton mages that'll cast crap
at
you.
Diablo 2. Yeah. Diablo 2's Necromancer. That's what they said. But that's impossible because the gameplay style is completely different. But they did capture some of it. And my grievances are, and maybe you'll agree with me, Boar. So one of the main things the Necromancer does is he uses the corpses of fallen enemies. That's like one of his main ways to get skills and powers and, you know, shit like that. However,
I completely ignore all those powers, but continue.
All of the enemies die and leave corpses on their own, like in Diablo 2. But they, going.
They leave generic looking meaty corpses, like just there's one model for it. And
so
it's
no matter
just
what
one,
dies,
one meaty
on.
Model corpse.
Besides their normal corpses. So they drop their normal corpse and then there's like, a corpse that drops that doesn't pay attention.
It's kind of like
any...
on top of it. Like it'll be like right on top of their normal corpse.
And it doesn't obey the laws of lighting effects in the game. So they're all bright. Like lighting, they're not dark if you're in a cave.
But that's
all
not,
the same brightness.
I don't think that's
so
where Brandon's saying is the
them.
Problem. The problem well, is that you'll drop a meaty corpse off of a skeleton or a ghost.
Anything. And they already leave corpses. Like in Diablo 2, something died and there was a corpse and you could explode it. And they leave corpses in Diablo 3. But now they leave another corpse that you can see everywhere. So they leave two corpses. The other thing was there's a really cool...
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It does help that you can see them, though, because on some of the powers that involve corpses, you need to be able to, like, target
and there's
the
a lot
of
stuff
of
going on. So
it helps that you can see them, but it takes you out of it a little bit.
Unfortunately,
like, it's a little ridiculous.
They do that with the skeleton summon, too. I really love it, and I use it. However, all the skeletons are super bright, like they're in the sunlight at all times. So you'll be, like, underground, and all the characters are dark. And then you summon the skeletons, and they're all, like, the brightest color, like the brightest saturation, and none of the lighting effects affect them either.
Like an old Fleischer cartoon.
They're just solid white bright skeletons, even though you're like in a dark cave and there's no light and all the other enemies are like dark.
I mean, if you're playing with somebody else, you can't see their summons very well because they go kind of like transparent, so you can tell the difference between your stuff and another person's. And I'm pretty sure that they're just highlighted so you can see where your own summons are, like, so you can tell the difference between your skeleton and one of the many skeletons that are running around inside of the dungeon trying to kill
you. And the hundreds of skeletons when everyone's a necromancer.
Yeah.
So I did absolutely love having an army of skeletons.
Oh, yeah.
And then while those are going out, I summon an army of undead mages. And while that's happening...
Well, and there's a power when you have the skeletons, you can activate the
and
power.
And they target
and
do
then
more
they'll,
damage.
They'll all like swarm whatever you're attacking. And it's really cool.
But the best part is that you can just hang out in the back. And as they kill things, you explode their corpses, which kill enemies, which leave corpses, which you then explode, which kill more enemies. And you see the chain of events. So you're in the back like commanding things.
Like I said, I'm not too into corpse magic, but it is cool.
It is really fun, actually. Yeah. I've played it for at least an hour or two. I'm trying not to get to level 70 too quickly and use up all my good items. I'm just trying to get through it.
Oh, no. I was trying to just steamroll through
it as fast
as
possible. Did you unlock the Hmong ability?
I'm getting there.
Okay,
did you see there's a bunch of new, like, I have weird necromancer, like, ghost wings that I didn't do anything to deserve.
Oh, yeah. If you buy the necromancer now, I don't know if they're going to continue this forever, but you get, like, some vanity...
And I have, like, a weird pet.
...wings, and they give you a little ghoul pet.
Yeah.
And
there's a weird banner that sticks out of my back if I equip it.
I don't know
what that is, but I didn't
have
it before.
That might have been from something else.
Okay.
But,
anyway, I don't use any of that.
Yeah, they give you some neat little things. And like Heroes of the Storm recently had a promotion because they added in Malthiel as a new hero.
Malthiel.
Huh. You know, Command of Death.
He's the main boss from the expansion for Diablo 3.
Oh.
And they added him as a playable hero in Heroes of the Storm. And if you did this quest chain, you could unlock some wings and like a banner thing for
I didn't do anything. I got a banner and some wings. That's cool. Yeah.
Well, this is a different kind of wings. These are like cyber wings.
Well, now I want those now, but I'm not willing to play the 50 matches it wants to get the
cyber
wings.
Even do it anymore. So yeah, you're too late. Ended. You're too late.
Blizzard, you're so weird at this shit right now.
When are there, is there going to be a Diablo character playable in Overwatch? I would love to
never
see.
Because Overwatch doesn't have crossovers like that. But you might get a Diablo skin on something.
But what if Kane was a playable character?
Maybe they'll make like a Reinhardt skin where you're Diablo holding a, you know, like a demonic rectangle shield. I don't know.
So let's talk about the other game I played for a solid hour called Elite Dangerous. And Bor, did you play this a little bit a while ago and you had thoughts about it?
Yeah. What are your thoughts about it? Because I have shared my thoughts on the podcast before.
I've wanted a really, really good space exploration simulator, whatever, everything multi-purpose space
game. I can't imagine you're going to say anything positive about it if you've only played it an hour.
Since.
You'd be surprised.
Okay.
Since No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky let me down. I've been searching for something that I can actually run ever since because my PC's not up to snuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, Elite Dangerous has been out for at least 2 years now. It's been on PC. It's been on, I think, Xbox or Xbox One. Yeah, Xbox.
What did you get it on?
It just came out for PS4 and PS4 Pro.
Okay. So,
comes with all the expansions and all
that. I bet the controllers are way dumbed down, so you probably had a way different experience
than
I did.
Let me talk to you about how it took me 45 minutes to park. So begins the tale. Now, the game is absolutely gorgeous. It's pretty. You can turn up. It has a thing to turn up the quality, and the frame rate didn't suffer at all on the PS4 Pro, so it's amazing. Now, I start inside a hangar, and there are several options. One leads to an entire base full of quests and things I don't understand. And then the other one launches your ship. So my ship goes to the surface of this weird planet. And I start learning the controls. And there's a few tutorials, but they don't really teach you that much. Mm. So I start lifting off slightly, learning the controls. And as I'm lifting off, I accidentally take out my guns and shoot something. And there's a giant warning that says, you have enabled your weapons. You have like 5 minutes to vacate or we'll destroy you. And a timer pops up. And I'm like, oh, God, what do I do? What do? I start flying away and I don't know how to use boost. And there's like hyperdrives and just subdrives. And so I'm like trying to fly. And there's like six different control panels on my ship. And they all have various options and things, Cap. And I have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm flying. And I hold a button down, which brings up other options. And it says flight assist on. I'm like, I know how to fly a spaceship. Let me turn flight assist off. That sounds dumb. That's like autopilot. I turn flight assist off and try to turn. And then I immediately crash. Keep spinning. And I go to the planet and I'm upside down and the top of my ship is scraping into the planet and the timer's still going down. And I'm upside down and my shields have worn off and I'm in critical damage and I try to find where the flight assist was and turn it back on. And then I found out my landing gear was still on, so I had to put that back up. Anyway, after all that, I finally get away from the planet. I go into the map. I have this one quest. All it is to dock at a space station. That's it. So I find where this space, like the system is I need to go, and I somehow activate my hyperdrive. So I'm boosting there. I'm going there.
Uh-huh.
And after a while, I'm just like, what am I doing? And I hit a bunch of buttons, and it must have accidentally shot me out of hyperdrive. Like there was an emergency stopping thing, and I unjumped right in front of a star. And my shields were critical, and I'm literally floating towards a star, and I don't see any of the planets I need, and I have no idea what I'm doing, and I'm trying to turn and get away from the star.
Plotted a really shitty course.
I hit the planet I was supposed, like the solar system, but apparently I was going straight for the friggin' sun there. So I eventually fly like away from the sun, find the place I'm supposed to go, which is a space station on a planet, and I'm heading towards the space station. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, this has all been 30 minutes at least. I'm flying towards the space station. I get closer, and I'm like, it's spinning. And I'm not spinning. And the entrance is a rectangle. So I'm trying to like slightly spin and get to it. But I think your ship compensates when you get close enough. But I got really close and they started yelling at me saying, I don't have authorization to land and they're going to blow me up. And another timer appears like, I need to get the hell out of there. And I was like, oh crap, what the hell do I do? So I checked every control panel and finally there was one that had a thing like of contact. So I contacted the space station and clicked a button. There's literally a fucking button that says request docking for that specific space station that popped up. Clicked on it. They let me dock. And so I fly into the space station. I'm like, oh, I finally made it through the mission. Then I'm in the space station and they assigned me a landing pad, a random landing pad number. So I'm floating in the space station and I'm looking around and I don't find my landing pad number. And I go to the end and turn around and I'm like, oh, it's there right behind me. And so I try to go to the landing pad. I'm like, this is going to be easy. This game is going to do the work for me. So I go to the landing pad, and I'm going really slow. And I'm starting to land straight down.
But you didn't put your landing gear on, did you?
Oh, shit. Maybe that's why I had so many problems. Well, I might have or I might not for the next 20 minutes, but as I was slowing my descent, another beacon appears like around my radar to zoom in, and it shows me where the landing pad is in proportion to my ship. And you have to line up your ship perfectly with the chevrons facing a certain way, and I'm landing, and suddenly my ship starts veering to the left and veering to the left. And it's like, have you ever tried to land on Top Gun for the NES? This is exactly what it was. I thought
I
hit it.
What you need is a power glove.
I thought I landed, and then I started sliding off and ramming into the space station. And you have a timer, by the way, to get to your fucking landing pad, because there's a law against loitering. You have 10 minutes or else you're considered loitering, and they kick you out and like file charges or something. And so I eventually get my landing gear on, I think, and it takes me another 20 minutes to adjust and fly back and forth and perfectly land.
You're not making me regret that I returned this game to Steam.
Okay, so 45 minutes, and I finally completed my first quest.
And Dangerous.
Yeah, so that was the only game experience I had with Elite Dangerous, and I loved it. You know what? You know, Space Simulator, that's exactly what I wanted.
Do you know what this actually sounds like to me?
Hmm.
An allegory for parking in strangers' docks.
I don't know what that is. Oh, penises. No.
I've never been into docking, so I don't know.
It was really hard and uncomfortable. But how many, the amount of details, because they've been updating this game for like several years, the amount of detail it went into, like there are so many menus in the game, and they're all hotkeyed for controllers now that bring up other menus, and you can do it quickly. Everything is in there that's in the actual PC game.
Yeah.
Somehow. There's like 100 different options just for flying your ship and like managing it.
It's ridiculous. You can hit like almost every single switch that you see inside the spaceship, and it's like got a normal space shuttle amount of switches and knobs.
I found another menu because apparently I have a little SRV vehicle in my ship because I got like some sort of Horizons edition. So I've got a little buggy. I can land on planets. I don't know how to do that yet, but apparently I can land on a planet with a little buggy.
Good luck with that. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think landing on a planet is easier than... But yeah, that was literally 40 minutes to find and land inside of a hangar bay. And it was amazing.
Wow.
I was going to say, yeah.
It was one of the...
Bore hated its complication.
It was one of the best days of my life. You know what's weird? I feel like I would need instant gratification and you'd totally be into how methodical the game is, but it's like reversed.
Yeah.
I'm into how methodical and like...
No, if I'm playing a game, I want to have fun. I don't know.
Simulators aren't about fun.
Yeah, I've never liked a simulator.
I guess.
But until Spider Simulator. That's going to be a lot of fun.
I might get into that one after I get a VR system that I like.
So, since we're already talking about space, there's this weird thing that's about to happen. On July 14th, the University of Mechanical Engineering in Moscow, with help from the Roscosmos, the Russian space agency, they're going to be putting into orbit the Mayak satellite. Mayak is beacon, and it is a crowdfunded project that's intended to promote space research in the country and make science and engineering more appealing to young Russians.
So there's some sort of thing that Putin has done, and he's putting missiles into space, and it's all under the context or the pretext of crowdfunding.
No, this thing's too small for that. It's about as big as a basketball. Here's what it might do. It might have the possible application of combating space junk using something like a parachute to lower them into lower orbit so that the debris can burn up in the atmosphere. But what it definitely will do is it's shaped like a pyramid made of a thin polymer film 20 times thinner than human hair that is super reflective. What it will do is it will be the brightest star in our sky, seen everywhere.
Now they ruin the sky. Thanks, Russia.
That is a major concern for astronomers.
It's a major concern for birds. They navigate by stars sometimes. They're going to see this brightest star, and then they're just going to be cut up by fucking like power lines. They're going to fly into buildings. They're going to go the wrong way.
What?
No, they'll probably be fine.
Well, if it irritates somebody, it sounds like they can just hit it with a high-powered laser and it'll go away.
Or you could just not look at it.
That is a solution, yeah. it was on Kickstarter, and I deleted the note. It was something like $20,000 to put it up there. And
wait, to launch it into space took $20,000. Well, I feel like the rocket fuel alone would cost more than that to put anything into space.
It seemed pretty affordable, and I wish I hadn't accidentally deleted that note, but I did.
So I'm a little confused as to what
engineers have crowdfunded around $20,000, which is enough to build and test the satellite, which is due to be launched in a fortnight.
Build the satellite, but not to launch it. Someone else is probably paying for the launch.
Enough to build and test the satellite. I don't know what testing
means. I believe this is the test.
So what does it do?
Would it be something that they released like when they were taking astronauts up to the space station or something like that? Is that what they would piggyback it on that or something?
No, they're actually, it's getting launched at that space center in Kazakhstan.
Of course, so
it's getting its own rocket. It's just going right up there.
But they use a lot of potassium there. It's their biggest export.
I'm still confused as to what you said it did.
Well, I mean, there's the possible application of helping to get rid of the, at this point, excess of space junk we have in orbit.
How does this thing get rid of excess space junk?
It like has some kind
because
of...
Because it's reflective. God, pay attention.
I mean, you're right about that.
A parachute-like attachment that would be able to drag that into lower orbit so it would burn up.
The satellite into lower orbit.
I don't know how this thing does it because it's just it's literally a shiny satellites? Pyramid.
Okay.
It's some kind of Illuminati symbol that's going to be in the sky.
I mean, that's all it is.
I mean, yeah, but anyway, it's...
And it's no bigger than a rugby ball.
Yeah. I changed it to basketball because I figured that was more culturally relevant. I didn't go to some kind of Ivy League school. I mean, you 1%ers probably know what a rugby ball is, and please donate to Nerdy Show.
Well, if they get it up there, I'm going to call it Bill.
Are they round? I feel like they're football-like.
They're
round.
They're a rounder football, yeah. They're rounder American football. But let me quickly talk about, I don't know what's going to happen with that. Astronomers are pissed. We'll see what happens. But yes, a laser sounds like that would pop that motherfucker.
Yeah.
$20,000 I mean, down the drain.
A laser would reflect off of it in theory, but it would probably also heat it up. And if it was really super thin, probably destroy it.
Granted,
I don't know.
Hats off to the targeting that can hit that small moving object.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure if the sun can't destroy it, I'm not sure a laser. Well, I guess it's concentrated.
Don't think, yeah.
No, it'd have to be hotter than the sun.
Hotter than the sun from where we are in space?
It's not going to be in the atmosphere of Earth, is it? So there's going to be nothing blocking all the UV rays.
I think you're confusing like radiation because it's not going to be like super hot.
Possibly. No, you're right.
Anyway, let's talk about Animorphs for a sec right now. Now, ages ago on Nerdy Show Book Club, we talked to Michael Grant, one half of the writing team that is K.A. Applegate. Or Catherine Applegate and Michael Grant together as K.A. Applegate wrote Animorphs. Animorphs is, I feel, on the down low, one of the most important sci-fi series of the 1990s. For a whole generation of people, myself included, this allegedly young reader book was a masterful body snatcher story of shifting in animals and fighting a secret rebellion. I highly recommend them. I've read them as an adult, and they're still great. So, Animorphs for All, Animorphs 24/7. I've always wanted more Animorphs in other media. I've wondered why, you know, it was published by Scholastic, and that creates problems. Like, they had a very bad live-action Nickelodeon series in the late 90s. If there was ever a film, it would be under Scholastic's umbrella. There's no guarantee of creative control from the authors, but something new is happening, and it's quite exciting. Two different artists, both of whose work I've seen in the comic book world, recently released on their respective Tumblr feeds art from an Animorphs comic. These people tried out for it and didn't get the job. So someone better than them, ideally, did get the job for what is to be an Animorphs graphic novel, confirmed by Catherine Applegate on Twitter, as to be something that's probably going to fit 2 to 3 volumes of the original books in one graphic novel. We're going to link to the art where you can see it on this episode's page. Coleman Engel, who did Steven Universe comics, and Megan Brennan, who worked on some Amazing World of Gumball comics, who also does an Animorphs podcast called Morph Club with artist Carrie Peach, who she herself drew Lumberjanes for a short while. They started a year ago. They're on book 34 right now. Hopefully I'll have a chance to check it out. Really want to listen to an all Animorphs podcast. So these talented folks drew some Animorphs comic books. Comic pages. You can see it right now. They were both given the same scenes where Elfangor, the Andalite, is meets the kids out in this construction zone, is like, shit, I'm a dying alien. these aliens are coming. They're already on your planet. Let me give you the power to start a rebellion. They did that scene, and also the scene where Jake Fritz turns into a dog. And it's great. You should totally check it out if you love Animorphs. If you don't love Animorphs, maybe consider going to a used bookstore and picking up some Animorphs and reading some Animorphs.
There's a rumor on the net.
On the net?
On the net that says there's possibly a Universal Studios or...
Yeah.
Is that a rumor?
It was something that happened a couple years ago in the news. No one's heard of it since.
So I'm assuming it's dead.
Probably. And this graphic novel has not been formally announced anywhere yet. There's just the material that was rejected for it online. I think it's probably going to get announced at San Diego Comic-Con, and they're probably going to show some pages from whichever artist who is still unconfirmed that actually did get the job.
Hmm.
So that's what I got to talk about. Those are my topics. We got time for one more. Who's going to put a bow on this episode?
My Little Pony.
We did watch the trailer for the upcoming My Little Pony full-length...
feature film, yeah.
Feature
Guys,
film.
7 years... 7 seasons. Well, the 7th season is still going, but it'll be done before the movie comes out, I think. Finally, there's a My Little Pony movie coming out. Now, I'm not a brony, and I don't know much about it. I don't know. I don't dress up. I don't know much about the show, but look, if you watch the trailer...
Brandon, I'm a furry. I don't have a fursuit.
If you watch the trailer, it's quite obvious that Starlight glimmers in the trailer with her best friend Trixie, so this takes place after season 6. I haven't seen 7 yet, so I don't know where in that timeline it appears.
Glimmers in the trailer?
No, Starlight glimmers in the trailer. Yeah.
Starlight.
Not to be confused with Sunset
Shimmer. That's not a verb. That's a name. That's a proper noun, apparently. Oh, I wasn't following either.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I thought you were saying she glimmers.
Anyway, and Party Favor doesn't have his unicorn horn, which is weird because he uses it for magic. But anyway, yeah. So,
what?
Lionsgate Studio fully produced 2.5D in some parts.
I got to say, the animation does not, there's a surprising frame rate, but generally, it doesn't look good.
Really?
It doesn't or does?
Does not. I don't think it looks good.
You don't think the hand-drawn animation and the frame rate looks great?
I think that when it is 2D, it looks pretty good. It looks better than the show, for sure. But the 2.5D looks pretty janky.
Well, Pinkie Pie's
does the show look bad? I'm not the animation buff here.
Here's the thing. Here's why this looks bad. Because with doing as much three-dimensional terrain as they've done,
yeah,
when they do that in this, from what I've seen in the trailer, it is kind of low res. I don't think really the cell shading of that doesn't match the actual. I don't feel that the 2D actually interacts with the 3D in a way that is like in Futurama. It just looks natural. It looks good.
Yeah.
And Futurama was on television years ago, but that's in this true. Major motion picture, it does not look good.
I think you need to rewatch the trailer.
I watched the trailer on my iPhone, so I can't really.
I've never watched the show. I don't follow it. I hear things every now.
Zoe
and then.
Zoe Saldana, if you like her, were you just talking about Kristen Chenoweth?
Play as a merpony.
Yes, the
probably
sea,
the leader
sea
of the ponies.
I'm not sure if the sea ponies might be wrong. I believe that's a separate Hasbro property that was at one point a figure.
Not
in the
anymore.
1980s.
See, I don't remember that. I was asking why there's no freaking like Flutterby ponies because
don't know what that is.
What the hell?
When I was growing up, the original My Little Pony, there was an offshoot. Flutterby might not be the right term. I don't remember.
But maybe
there
I should
were
look that up.
There were My Little Ponies with like translucent, like insect kind of wings that were like butterfly ponies.
Oh, those are the the changelings have been the enemy of the ponies for years. But but recently, an episode.
They were called Flutterby ponies
in season 6.
Wait, does the Dominion come into play?
A little bit.
In My Little Pony,
the changelings have been evil and been sucking the life out of everything. But in season 6, they become good and they transform with these chrysalises into weird butterfly looking.
Do My Little Ponies ever have to fight Jem'Hadar soldiers?
Wait, are you making this up? Or?
No, this is real. I think they transform into that.
Did you look this up after I was like, where are the Flutterby ponies?
No, the changelings, I just saw in the last episode of season 6, the changelings turned into, I think, what you're describing.
Like, I'm old.
They went
so
through chrysalises.
I remember original
they went
My
through
Little
a
Pony.
Chrysalis and
so
changed.
This whole new thing is like.
Guys. Where are the Popples and the Glowworms?
Where
why
are the
why
Popples
are they
and the Glowworms?
I did own a Popple when I was
and
a
the
kid.
Munchichis and the. I don't.
And the snorks?
And the snorks, which I always liked more than snorks.
Boar's just staying out of this.
But they I believe, completely unrelated, though they looked almost identical except for, you know, the snorkel and their blowhole.
Were they unrelated? I thought they were just the same.
Did they have, like, crossover voice actors or anything?
I know Nancy Cartwright was on the snorks. Anyway,
I don't know what that means.
Anyway, but I'm just hoping there's cameos from like DJ Pwn 3. That's all I care about.
What? I'm Brandon, I can virtually guarantee that every single pony that anyone's ever been like, oh yeah, I love that background character, Big Lebowski pony, or oh yeah,
or Derpy pony,
Dr. Hooves or whatever, like they're all gonna be there, man.
I don't know, there's a new Sia pony.
Dr. Hooves.
What?
There's a Sia pony.
Oh, yeah, Sia's in the movie.
Sia's in it. Kristen Chenoweth's in it. Zoe Saldana.
I swear I heard Steve Blum in it. We'll see.
I didn't see that, but they always make that stuff go by.
Well,
really,
this sounds awful. So
there, although, you know, for Brandon's interest, there are birds, not bird ponies. He's
they're
griffins.
Wait.
I was like, no, those are birds. Those are bird people.
It's
exciting.
Speaking
of bird person.
It's confirmed because they've only shown griffins, but now there's actual bird people, different species.
I didn't
and
see
griffins.
Any griffins. There were bird people.
In
they definitely
the show,
had
there's
bird
been
person?
Griffins.
They had bird feet.
They're from Griffin Rock. Okay, get it right. They're in the show.
What's the release date for Rick and Morty season 3?
I believe it's July 30th.
July 30th. Wonderful. Amazing.
Oh God,
had a live stream the other day.
Oh, shit, I missed that.
It was very painful to watch for a long period of time.
Why?
They had the worst audio engineering I've
ever
heard
sure
for a live stream.
What it meant. Was it the voice actors like doing a live
stream?
Yeah,
it was Justin
Roiland
and Dan Harmon and one of the artists, I forget her name, and the gentleman that does the voice for Mr. Goldenfold.
Was it bad on
was
purpose?
Hosting it.
Like,
it was just boring and they drew it out. For too
it was
long.
Spontaneous. I believe it was. It seemed like an extremely spontaneous production. So for that, hats off to him. But it was like, I did stop watching. Brandon, okay. You've had too much to drink.
Sorry.
Yep.
I've had too much to drink. Hey, speaking of which,
but they did a live action version of the Eye Holes commercial.
Did they now?
They posted it on their Facebook page. If you want to go back and watch it, but
sure.
It has Nathan Barnett as the Eye Hole Man. He did. I forget his main character's name. That he usually does, but he used to do all those bizarre Skittles commercials.
Yeah,
remember
yeah.
All the really bizarre ones, and he's like he looks like
well,
a middle aged white guy. That's
which really bizarre
crazy.
Ones? They've been doing like weird commercials for the past like 15 years.
The weird middle aged dancing white guy ones. Do you remember
okay,
those?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, he was the eye hole man, and he kicked the eye holes off of those the couple, and it was like a shot for shot recreation of the eye holes commercial from Rick and Morty.
That's
and,
rad.
But other than that,
there's a new trailer.
Yeah,
such
the,
it is.
The new trailer was the new trailer
Pickle
was
Rick.
Really great.
I
really
love pickles
that.
And Rick.
It could have the same.
This comes out at
one.
The end of July.
Yes, okay. July 30th is, I believe, what they said.
Cool, I cannot.
Post Comic Con.
Can I wait? In slightly other news, also coming out this month. If you're a fan, Star versus the Forces of Evil season 3.
Oh yeah, season 3.
It's actually slated to have a movie. It has an ending date for how many seasons and then a movie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I am on board.
It's supposed to have like 7 seasons in a movie. I don't know how.
Rad.
I have absolutely perfect. No idea what you're talking about.
I discovered Star like, versus the Forces of Evil when we finally got the shitty Hulu account so that we could watch Handmaid's Tale.
Unless you're listening, Hulu. You're great.
No, your pricing structure sucks. Anyway, so I discovered Star versus the Forces of Evil and then... Of course, handed it off to Brandon because it just seemed like his perfect thing.
But what is it? Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a program on Disney XD. It started in the middle of when Gravity Falls was airing. And this is like the thing. If you loved Gravity Falls and you want to see another show with a similar comedic styling, then you want to jump over to Star versus the Forces of Evil.
Okay.
It's about a magical girl from another world, the magical land of Muni, who is basically an exchange student on Earth. And she
I feel
has,
like I've seen this anime.
Yeah, well, what's great about it is that it's not
but
anime.
But this is good.
She has a magic wand with a star in the center of it.
No, if you like kooky girls that kick ass and have magic and it's not all about...
And here's the thing. Like,
well, there are some boy things. But.
So she doesn't like shack up with a teenage boy and...
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
She
gotcha.
Hasn't shacked up with anybody, but...
Gotcha. Okay.
I love the theme
Well, there
song.
Was a demon in hell she used to date. But we don't talk. Yeah.
It's a slice of life show that has really fun side plots, really great supporting cast, and season one's good.
Season two is phenomenal.
Gloves are off. They were like, here's what I think happened. I think Disney was like, shit. Okay, so we let Gravity Falls in. We didn't force Alex Hirsch to make more of the show, even though he wanted to end it. What do we have? Oh, we got this show. Let's say, hey, folks who are making Star, would you be okay with doing more? Long-form storytelling and some really dark bits, and they're like, oh shit, we can do that? Okay. So in season two, they have multiple episodes dedicated to the suffering of their lead villain.
Yeah.
And and building and fundamentally changing that character.
And building his army, and it's amazing. Right.
Building his backstory, building his army.
And Eagle and Spider building are the his best. Power. Eagle and Spider are the best.
It's crazy. What they do to that character after like being like fucking basically Rita Repulsa the first season is like, wow.
Huh.
It's, no, it
sounds
really
like I'll
good.
Have to check that one out. Just because you compared it to Gravity Falls, and I love that show.
There's actually, I mean, you go on Tumblr, you're going to see a ton of crossover art.
I'm not going to go on to Tumblr.
I know you're not going to, but if you did.
No, that's not even in this galaxy will I go into Tumblr.
I'm just saying.
You're in it right now.
The fan base has a substantial Venn diagram crossover, and there's a good reason for it. So if you like pie charts and diagrams,
I feel like you can just link this to me. I don't have to go on Tumblr.
I think he likes instant gratification.
I will describe them to you on an audio format show. That's what I will do. Taking us out is a brand new track by Mark with a C from his new EP, Half Serious, Half Kidding. And this track, it's called Selfies, and it's actually a cover of a rap song, which Mark has turned into not a rap song. Rap song by Starf, who is not only a fantastic nerdcore rapper, but also a longtime Patreon supporter of Nerdy Show. This is from originally his 2014 record, Have Some Fun, but now, like I said, it's on Mark's EP, which is a stepping stone between his prior album, Unicorns Get More Bacon, and whatever comes next. And, I might add, I'm in the music video for it. So if you want to see me rolling around on the floor in sprinkles and hundreds and thousands, then get excited for it. We'll link to it on this episode's page. You can hear both versions of Selfies at nerdy.fm, our nerd music station, online and on app on Apple and Android. Here's Selfies by Mark with a C.
Selfies, how good am I looking? Tell me. Narcissism ain't all that healthy. Self-worth through the roof, I'm so wealthy. Stop, inspected, red, I detected, photo corrected, uploaded, rejected. Stop, inspected, red, I detected. Grayscale, artsy, I think I'll stick with sepia. Plaster the results on all my favorite social media. Do you like it? Will you share it? If not, I'll grin and bear it, because I don't even care. It's my favorite pastime on the net. Don't forget, I don't regret looking good, even though I used it. Haven't seen you since yesterday, so here's a small smattering. Don't mind the granulation, this webcam's not too flattering. A gathering of everyone to see my face. Look, don't tell me to stop, that's why it's called Facebook. Instagram was made for instant gratification. If you've got your back, if you wanna move in creation, so come with me and indulge, let's all do it quick. Don't concern yourself with backlash, just take another pic. You can upload it fast, I'm sure you're looking fine. But I missed it, I was too busy reflecting on mine. Damn, I look nice and you'd have to agree. Every side is my good side, here's four more pics to prove it, see. Arrogant narcissist, clearly though, it's the middle of the night again, so here we go. I'm taking selfies, I'm taking selfies. How good am I looking? Tell me. Narcissism ain't all that healthy. Self-worth through the roof, I'm so wealthy. I'm taking selfies, I'm taking selfies. How good am I looking? Tell me. Narcissism ain't all that healthy. Self-worth through the roof, I'm so wealthy. Stop inspecting, red eye detected, photo corrected, photo projected. Stop inspecting, red eye detected, photo corrected, photo projected. Stop.
late.
Look at me.
I'm up too late.
Look at me.
New haircut.
Look at me.
You can stare just.
Look at me.
From one side.
Look at me.
To the other.
Look at me.
Like my pics.
Look at me.
Look at me,
look at me,
another selfie. Don't tell me it's out of control, I remove the stigma. I mean, I know the selfie album's getting kinda big, huh? I mean, I guess it's really not too big. The selfie folder on my hard drive is only 2 gigs. There's always room for more, always room for me. And besides, I just got a new shirt I know you'll wanna see. So the moral of the story, hold on, I gotta take a quick pic. Tell me how I look tonight. Here it goes, click, click. I'm taking selfies, I'm taking selfies. How good am I looking? Tell me, tell me. Narcissism ain't all that healthy. Self-worth through the roof, I'm so wealthy. I'm taking selfies, I'm taking selfies. How good am I looking? Tell me, tell me. Narcissism ain't all that